Welcome to Postcast. Ron Boone returns to Postcast, the fully vaccinated Postcast, here with you on Jazz and blow out the Spurs and take over the number one seed. They play absolutely fabulously. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast as Ron Boone returns to Postcast. Woohoo! It's been demanded. It's finally happened. He's back. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Biograss, as well as brought to you by our friends over at Grip 6 Belts, grip6.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get one of the most comfortable belts in the world. Plus, go to Biograss, go to bigyellowbag.com and get your bag for your backyard and get it going. Ron Boone returns. It's nice to have you back for Postcast, Ron.
This is probably the most fun we have the whole game, you think?
Postcast?
We have more fun on Postcast than we do
I don't know. Tonight we had a lot of fun because we had nothing to talk about for like 30 minutes. I'm wildly impressed by this performance today by the Jazz. I did not think they were going to win today when we kept talking about you need five wins the rest of the way. I didn't have this on my list of five wins. I didn't know that I thought, you know, back-to-back games against the Spurs who needed to win. And not only did I not have it as a win, I certainly didn't have it as a 40-point blowout.
Well, I thought they would win. And then when I get to the ball game and start listening to you, and then I start having my doubts. Okay, I was expecting a much closer basketball game, but it didn't happen. It was like Jazz were ready, the San Antonio Spurs were not. It wasn't even a fight, you know, and the Jazz got exactly what they wanted out of the whole ball game.
Well, you always get into this conversation of offense versus defense and these various things, like, it didn't feel like the Jazz had any restrictions to what they were doing offensively. They knew what they wanted to do the whole time. But I wonder, like, because of Rudy and the Jazz defense, did their defense just have such an impact on this game, no fast break points for the Spurs in the first half, that they just got deflated? The Spurs looked defeated pretty early in this game. They were down 40, obviously. They were down 30 early in the third. They were down 30 at half. Like, was it that the Jazz defense was just so hard for them that they lost interest, or was it the Jazz offense was moving it so beautifully that they couldn't do anything about it?
You know, you could probably look at that in both ways. And let's look at it from the offensive standpoint, because the defensive of the San Antonio Spurs blew up nothing. You know, sometimes you can broadcast a basketball game and the defense blows up what the Jazz want to do, or the Jazz will blow up and take away something that the Jazz do well, or, you know, those type of things. San Antonio didn't blow the Jazz up from getting anything they wanted out there on the floor. And so that was the difference in the basketball game. They just got to the point where the Jazz was just having fun.
So the big picture concept here is, hey, there's a script out there to how to play the Jazz defensively. Get into them physically manhandle the cutters, blow up the rhythm of the offense. The same amount of threes are going up, but they don't go in. Spurs didn't do any of those things. Phoenix has done it better than anyone else, but the Spurs didn't do any of those things. So it's not as though you leave this game saying to yourself, the Jazz have answered the one kind of question on what defenses they have, but they did continue to show that if you're playing that drop big and you're trying to figure out if you're taking away Rudy or the threes or whatever, you'll pick your poison wrong throughout the night and the Jazz will crush you.
Exactly. And now that guys like Bojan, who's playing a little bit more with the basketball, taking advantage of mismatches when they create a mismatch. And I think the Jazz do that very, very well, especially with Bojan now, is a side pick and roll to the point where they have to switch. Now Bojan has a smaller guard or something going where he can back him out down and shoot over the top, you know, that type of thing. This is something Quinn wanted to do at the beginning of the year. And he did say that we want to post him up probably a little bit more this year than what we did last season. I think they kind of got away from that a little bit. Now they're using it quite a bit, or they're giving Bojan the opportunity to do it, you know, on his own.
So let's talk about Bojan and his performance. That's five straight games over 20 points. It's the first time he's ever done that in his career. Last time was in Indiana. He scored, I think, 30 and then 7, and now he's gone over 20 and 5 straight without Donovan. He's figured out this is his team right now and how he's going to play. He's done two things differently. Tonight he only took 4 3-point shots the whole game. He only took 13 shots, frankly, to get to his 24 points. How much of this is replicable when Mike and Donovan come back?
I think a lot of it is, David, if he continues to play with the basketball in his hands and if he gets those opportunities. He's getting more opportunities now. What did he get, 13 shots tonight? I think in a 48-minute game, or I think he's been averaging now at close to about 29, 30 minutes a game since Donovan's been out, and he's getting 16 shots a ball game. So, and when Donovan and Conley comes back, that probably go down to probably about 12 or 13 shots. But it's the quality of looks and shots that he's getting right now. He only averaged 15 shots a game last year, and he was at 20 points a ball game. So it's those quality looks and the fact that he's playing a little bit different now, and those are high percentage shots when he's back and dies down and shooting over the top of those smaller guards.
Right before tip-off every night, you give us the thing you're looking for in the broadcast. The last two games, it was Trent Forrest. What have you seen from the rookie out of Florida State?
You just see his confidence starting to really build. I mean, he had a couple of – he had a dunk tonight, or he had one the other night too, to where he just – flies right to the basket. I think he plays pretty much under control. And I think that's probably one of the things that Quinn likes about him. He's playing under control. He didn't turn the basketball over that much. There's a couple of things he probably needs to work on. One is going to be his shooting, his release, how quick he can get those shots off, you know, that type of thing. But as far as running a basketball team, I think he gets better.
All right, let's go to some of the questions that have come in. Boone! We're really good at making them look bad. We are. It's hard. Like, you watch San Antonio and we play them. It's hard to believe they've won games this year.
Yeah. That looked really, really not great Popovich-type basketball.
Certainly.
But, you know, he's been in the league a long time, over 1,300 victories. I think he's a little frustrated. I don't know if it's his personnel or but he's not getting what he needs out of these guys. I mean, you're not used to San Antonio Spurs being in the 10th spot as far as the playoffs are concerned. But they need some more. They need some different players. That's for sure.
How realistic is the 538 prediction of the Jazz going 52-20? Well, it's only two more losses the rest of the way. That's tough. What do we got? How many games we got left? Six? Yeah, we got six games left that include Denver, Portland, Golden State, Houston, Sacramento and Oklahoma City. Right. So we got to beat either Denver, Golden State or Portland and not lose the three we should win. So yeah, I guess it's somewhat realistic. We're up one. So it gets nice. I mean, it's a big night tonight with Atlanta beating Phoenix, who I think was fatigued, and us getting the win. You know, 538 does not know that Donovan and Mike are out. It's completely numbers based. So it does not know that they're out. Connor Hudson wants to know, can we start calling him three time? We had a note that they scored on Tyson Ewing gave it to me. At one point in the game, I think they scored on something like 8 of 32 possessions when Rudy was on the floor. Like, woo! I mean, San Antonio likes the mid-range jumper, but they are you still got to go to the rim a little, and they wanted no part of the rim with Rudy around.
Yeah, and you could just say, boy, that 13-foot mark is as far as they're going. And they're very good at it. I mean, DeRozan 6'5", 6'6", and LeVon Murray 6'5", 6'7". I mean, those guys are very good at when they get to those spots. But anything deeper than that, you know, they're just not going there. And Rudy knows it. And he's all he do is just get in the area. Those guys are going to pull up for, you know, and try that mid-range game.
Amber says the Jazz ate their vegetables tonight with two Hello GS of dessert. That I don't know what the Hello GS is. It might be helpings misspelled.
Jello.
I think it's helpings misspelled. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with my morning interview tonight or my interview today on the radio in which they were like, Quinn always talks about focusing on defense. And finally I was like, did your parents tell you to eat your vegetables? And Gordon was like, yeah. I was like, did they tell you to eat the dessert? And he's like, no, but I eat dessert every night. Right. Offense is dessert and defense is vegetables. Coaches never have to tell their players to play offense. They all like offense. It's like dessert. So, yes, the Jazz had their vegetables tonight. Biggest reason, Ron, that we are rolling without two All-Stars?
Boy, that's a tough one. And I think the couple of players have stepped up. I think Joe Ingles doing a great job of running the offense. And just making things happen. They're getting a lot out of – I mean, just think George Niang is averaging about 11, 12 points a ball game in 21 minutes. And so that part, guys have stepped up and just getting the job done. But that's kind of hard for me to say the biggest reason other than the fact that Joe and Boyan is getting the job.
And we're still great defensively. We're probably better defensively. Like, we're perfectly honest. Mike and Donovan – have a weakness defensively is that they're both 6'1".
Yeah,
Conley. Right. So we're starting a lineup that's now much bigger, right? We've replaced two 6'1" guys with two 6'8" guys. So we're really long defensively right now, and we've been great defensively. Robert says, love you two announcing games. Ron, the legend, Locke, the best announcer you can listen to living in Montana. Every game is blacked out on NBA TV. I depend on you two to get me through the year. Thank you. Thank you. That's our pleasure. Thoughts on turnovers this season? Tonight was solid, but the turnovers this season have been high. Oh, I hate this.
Jazz turned the ball over. The system means that they're going to have a certain amount of turnovers. As David mentioned so often, it's the unforced turnovers that really get them in trouble. But this kind of an offense calls for a lot of passing, dribble penetration, and sometimes you get to the point where you're forcing passes. The key there is when you give up points off of those turnovers that really hurt.
Okay, so a few things on this. One, our offense is the third best offense in the NBA. Actually, that's all that matters. Like, if we turn the ball over a bunch and our offense was the 12th or 18th or 20th, now we're, second of all, we're better than we were last year. Last year, we were like 25th, 26th. This year, we're 17th. Third is, we're the third best shooting team in the league. So you could probably get your turnovers down, but you won't be the third best shooting team in the league anymore because you won't be making as many plays with passes. So actually, there's only two things you should care about. One is what our offensive rating is, and we're the third best team in the league. The second is what Ron said. Live ball turnovers, which is opponent steals, and particularly live ball turnovers above the free throw line lead to automatic baskets, are problematic. We've gotten better at that because our transition defense has gotten better. We used to be a bottom 10 team. We're now a top 10 team transition defense. I heard the morning show was talking about turnovers. Call them tomorrow and tell them they're wrong. Have a great night.